can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Just before we start, I've been almost shaken out of my shoes. I don't want to appear as though I've got... I have a very collectible car out the back. It's very collectible.
Was.
Well, so very collectible. I tell you what it is. It's a 1966 2x2 E-Type Jaguar. They're extremely rare. Well, they're not rare, but they're nicely collectible, and I managed to go to the bank and borrow some money so I could buy it. So I've got
to spend a bit of time getting it bang on too.
Spend a lot of time getting it bang on, and so bang on being the operative word. So I have also a golf net rigged up so that when a man who could honestly be clinically insane, that's the Premier, decides to treat the people who live in this state with some sort of courtesy or dignity... without allowing a tennis and AFL women's football to go on while we sit in our room, locked in a small room because we can't go out and we slink out to get food and that. But that's another story. So our good friend here, Don.
Hang on, but explain what happens. You've got the cars in position.
I've got the golf net in front of the car.
And so if you want to use the golf net, you push the car back.
Well, you don't even have to do that. You stand on the mat where you hit away from the car. You just judge that.
So that what doesn't happen?
So we're just having a chat here and Don arrives, of course, and he wanders out the back and we're having a chat and I see him pick the club up. And he's having a swing and then he gets a ball out of the rack and he goes, and suddenly there's this huge metallic crash. Crash. And I look over. Could you believe it? He's on the backswing.
He put his club through the grill.
He's put his club through the bonnet of this extremely...
I hit the bloody undercarriage.
Don. I'll hit your undercarriage in a minute.
All of this was said before he'd even said hello.
Before he said hello, I said, hello, Donnyman. Huh. And back goes the backswing and crash. So I've rung up my very good friend Ligi from LA Smash Repairs. And the car is about to be put on the back of a flatbed truck and taken out to get some panel work done to it. It's extraordinary. No, honestly, and if you know the makeup of an E-Type Jaguar, 66 E-Type Jaguar, it's not just made out of normal metal. It's stretched sort of...
It's hand-beaten.
And Don's hand beaten it. He's beaten a hole into the front of the hood, bonnet. So that's a small shaken. I have been shaken early. And then the other thing, Don, you've got to help us with, I presume, I heard that you're leaving, now that you're looking at me as though I'm joking, but I heard someone said you're leaving the podcast, you're starting a new show. Are you starting a new show on your own? Someone said they heard you on the radio doing a show like...
An interview.
An interview, was it? Someone said they were going to name it Ding Dong... Ding Dong Don. It's going to be a new segment on talk radio or Scott's Scuttlebutt or something.
No, I've come out of purgatory. You come out of purgatory? Are you still in purgatory?
So are you starting...
Well, I mean, SEN. I used to do regular interviews with Gary and Tim.
I see.
But since our little problem halfway through last year...
Whose little problem?
Ours. Ours. I've been blackballed. And anyway, I got a reprieve and they rang me up. Tim rang me on Sunday for an interview.
So you're going to be part of the...
No, I'm not going to be part of anything.
So you're going to stay with us? Someone said that you'd started a new show on the radio. I wasn't aware that it was with Tim and Gary, but they said...
No, it was just an interview, so put that rumour to rest.
I see. So I thought...
It's good to be in the good books once again with Tim and Gary.
Why?
Well...
Why is it good to
politically incorrect and they were shying away.
What are you politically incorrect about?
Well, what happened to our defamation case last year?
Oh, the discussion about Widmer, whether he lifted his jumper up.
They just wanted to distance themselves, I think. Well, everybody seems to have distanced themselves.
Are they? So just a perfectly harmless conversation which resulted in us resolving it with the person person himself.
Haven't you found that you've been socially distanced since then?
Since then?
Not since then.
Gee.
Not since long before that.
Since the mid-90s, Don. Since the mid-90s. You've got to get used to it, mate. So, all right, so you're not leaving us and you've put a hole in my E-type. So that's the news of the day. I did mention about, yes, you've looked. Now, Don, usually we get this far into the podcast and I've spoken and done all the speaking so far.
Well, it is really hard to get a word in.
Go ahead.
No, you keep going. You're on a roll. You're on a roll.
Go ahead, Don.
Why have you got the tank top on? Singlet.
Wife beater.
Wife beater, Don.
What do you mean a wife beater?
Oh, again, don't start this conversation. Wife beater.
What is a wife beater?
Oh, Don, please.
It's a singlet, Callum.
We had this conversation about 3 weeks ago.
Don.
I've never heard that term before.
You heard it 3 weeks ago.
What?
You heard it 3 weeks ago.
Your mental acuity, Don, you're going to have some sort of cerebral.
Listen, it's not a good look.
You're going to, well, if this was a visual medium.
Well, we've been asked to put it on, to do it visually.
No, Don, please, Doug's here.
Hey? Doug's here.
No, visually, we've been asked.
Don,
Not by him.
Don, don't jump around. Don, this is not a visual medium, so I'm wearing the wife beater, so don't say we've been asked to go. We're not go on with it. I'm sitting here. I could be sitting here in my underwear, Don. I could be, but I'm not.
Yes, but the requests have been that we make this a visual.
But that's different to me sitting here now with a wife beater on. Now, the wife beater is probably a politically incorrect term as, wait till we get on to some.
Yeah, what about that?
Towards men or women?
Well, to both.
Yeah, correct. That's why it's not only politically incorrect towards shocking men.
Is it? I've never heard that term before. Well, you mentioned it 3 weeks ago. Well
I'll
you
tell may you have. How
listen, I don't remember much of this podcast.
No, you don't remember much
at all. As soon as I walk out, it's just a relief.
You didn't
so
remember.
So why would they be calling it a wife beater? Can
I'll
you give me the
you.
Origins?
Yes, I can, Donald.
Okay.
Now, this is probably not in the spirit of what's going on in the community as we speak, but many years ago, a man, I'm not making light of this, this is how the politically incorrect term came. A man beat his wife to death and the police, and he was wearing a singlet. And never since then it's been called a wife beater.
Wife beater, really?
Because he was wearing the singlet, and when anyone you see people out working and on the road, just working in a hot day, and they got a singlet on, they say he had the wife beater on. We're not making fun of that. It's
global,
a disgrace.
Global. It's a global term.
If you look it up.
Really?
Yes. It's a globally incorrect term these days to explain what it is.
Okay.
Don, sounds like we're making a joke of. But that's just what it's called. And
we're making a joke of Don not knowing the term.
When making a joke of Don, have we had this discussion 3 weeks ago and you've forgotten it?
I was just going to mention about this lockdown we're going through at the moment.
Good.
Did you why?
Good, why good? Because we've got some pertinent.
Why?
Good. I said good. That's good that we're going to speak about it because I've got some information you might be interested in.
Why? because why?
Whose information is going to top who?
Can I say one thing before you start?
No, well, you've dominated.
Don's extremely pleasant and intelligent son's here with us. Doug, he's sitting over there. Yell out just to know. Just say, g'day.
John,
g'day. Can you hear that?
G'day.
No, say it. Shout it out.
Hi.
Say, g'day.
He's not extroverted like you, he's introverted.
No, I just want people to think I'm not making this up. Doug is sitting over there looking at you, Don, thinking, fuck me, did that man bring me onto this planet? I think that's what he's thinking. Anyhow, I'm thinking that myself. So go on.
Hang on. Oh, I've got to wait for you now.
I found an interview with Doug last week.
right, when I was looking for something else.
This is the rocket. Interview. The rocket's on.
Yeah. I found an interview with him.
What's the rocket's on?
So when Doug got put onto the list at what Hawthorne.
List? What list? Oh, yeah. What list?
Well, I don't know about the bloody list. You say list. You tell me that I don't give the background.
This is an interview Doug did when he was...
whole wonderful interview, right, about father and son, right? Yeah.
Doug
got on a list at 23 and how he was going, all wonderful, and how you were talking. You were all very sweet and talking about
how... We all read it, and the last line got us beautifully.
Yeah, so it was a wonderful, you know, puff piece, right?
Yeah. Puff piece.
Yeah. Oh, Don, puff piece.
Don't swear, you're as bad as him.
What? You don't know what puff piece is?
No, but don't. I'm saying he's using the words to profane.
Smoking ice in a pipe, Don.
Have you seen Rain Man? You know when he's Dustin in the car? Hoffman. Yeah, you know when they're in a car Cruise. And he keeps going, if you want it, you'll got it. He's reading all the signs.
Was he?
That's what you do when people speak. Puff piece.
Yeah, puff piece is not about smoking.
So am I. Anyway. Who am I, Dustin Hoffman or Tom Cruise?
Yeah, you're the
Cruise?
Rain Man.
You're fucking...
Anyway, hang on, I'm just getting it up. Hang on. So...
So this is... while the rocket's getting it up, this was an interview that...
It's a beautiful puff piece. This is good work. It's a beautiful puff piece, and at the very end, Doug says, hopefully... You've got to remember, Doug's just been... Just put this in context. He's 23 years old. He's just been put on the list, okay? So he's a grateful young man. He's all happy. And his last line, interview is, hopefully I don't burn as many bridges as the old man.
I don't burn them, I demolish them. I demolish.
That's the heir to the throne sitting over there. The heir to the mortgage right over there. Now, Don, we'll get on to burning another bridge with Hawthorne in a minute. This was why you were on Gary and Tim's very good show. But first of all, Don... You were going to mention a thing about what's going
this
on with
corona,
the COVID.
I didn't realise how bad Victoria was.
You didn't?
In comparison. Now, why doesn't New South Wales receive the accolades? Is it because she's a Liberal state premier and we seem to get lot from Queensland and a lot from Victoria, a little bit from Western Australia and South Australia is way down the back. Beg your pardon?
She gets a pretty good run in Sydney. They love her.
Well, we don't get much down here about her. We get a lot about Berejiklian.
Well, Anastasia Palaszczuk. Yeah, no, we get a lot about her because she's closed the borders off to us and helped out with the AFL and all sort of stuff. So there's been stuff that's relevant to us.
So Don,
but they don't like her because she's left everything open. She's been quite liberal.
Exactly,
with
but
it.
Listen, I'm going to bring up a couple. Can I bring up a couple of stats about?
Yes, you can. We'll have to think about that, Don. Now go on, man.
I wish you'd put a shirt on. The arms don't look flash. You're doing bicep curl. Is something triceps?
He did 60
or,
a minute ago.
He did 60.
Yeah.
Well, you should do 120.
Doug did 34.
34. I did 20. I
already done them before you got here, you clown.
I did 60.
Go on, Don. Please.
Before I got chlamydia, I could do 60. Now listen,
extraordinary.
New South Wales total travellers. Now this is the travellers coming to the state. New South Wales 124,000, nearly 125. Victoria 35. So there's nearly 100,000 difference of travellers quarantined. Now the total cases. Are you turning me off?
No. I was just getting ready.
The total cases for New South Wales, taking that into account, is nearly 4,950.
Right.
Whereas Victoria have 20,000 cases.
Okay.
Now, hang on. And deaths, 56 in New South Wales, 820 in Victoria. That is just...
So, Don...
Unbelievable, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. And I'll tell you why. We're going to play something. We're going to play 4 minutes of something which you will find fascinating. This is from overseas. But you are absolutely correct. This man running this state is almost clinically insane. He is locked us down for 4 days or 5 days with on the premise that tennis can go on, not against the tennis.
Yeah, what about the AFW? AFW. I turned that on Saturday and it's on.
On Valentine's Day, the AFLW women's football was allowed to go on. You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't buy flowers. We're locked up. We slink around trying to get some morsels to make, sustain us at the supermarket. We're very careful. We don't go more than 5K. It is absolute sheer madness. Construction workers are out there building
just,
things.
Honestly,
why we put up, because we're law-abiding citizens, basically, why we put up with this, it's extraordinary, Don. Now,
you know what the vocal minority is? The vocal minority is people that are setting up small businesses. Now, as we're coming into the studio today, on the left, there used to be a coffee shop. Now, that has closed simply because he couldn't stay open through last year's COVID.
Beg your pardon? And he moved to Queensland to get away
from it. He's moved to Queensland and he's selling the premise because he just couldn't get the
premises
over.
The premises he's selling, not the premise. The premise is something that put
forward.
Okay, right.
Thank you for correcting me again. I wish I'd gone to the grammar.
I wish you had too, Don, because we could have much more sensible conversations. Now, Don.
But hang on. No, but this vocal minority, who talk about the flowers, they're all small businesses, restaurants. That I listened to a man from Meetung who's got the hotel down at Meetung, prepared, as a lot of others did for the last weekend. He just gave
Don,
the food away to the employees.
Now, Don, just please, we're going to play this. This came from overseas. And this is one of the reasons, now don't roll your eyes, but this is one of the reasons why a website and a chat platform called Parler was taken off the air. Because when Donald Trump put stuff up like this in America, they banned him from Twitter because they said it was misinformation. Now, have a listen.
Is this from Parler or
this is from a doctor in Canada, and he says this, and he called into a conference, and they.
He's an English doctor who called into a Canadian parliament.
And in fairness to
he was asked to call in as an expert.
And in fairness to the people who he called into, they let him go, and this is what he said, and it's 4 minutes. Just listen to this, please. Don't speak over it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dr. Hodkinson. I just want to let you know I'm standing by.
Oh, okay. Well, we would love to hear from you. The floor is yours.
Don.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate the opportunity to address you on this very important matter. What I'm going to say is lay language and blunt. It's counter-narrative. And so you don't immediately think I'm a quack. I'm going to briefly outline my credentials so that you can understand where I'm coming from in terms of knowledge base in all of this. I'm a medical specialist in pathology, which includes virology. I trained at Cambridge University in the UK. I'm the ex-president of the pathology section of the Medical Association. I was previously an assistant professor in the Faculty of Medicine doing a lot of teaching. I was the chairman of the Royal College of Physicians of Canada Examination Committee in Pathology in Ottawa. But more to the point, I'm currently the chairman of a biotechnology company in North Carolina selling a COVID-19 test. And you might say I know a little bit about all of this. The bottom line is simply this. There is utterly unfounded public hysteria driven by the media and politicians. It's outrageous. This is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on an unsuspecting public. There is absolutely nothing that can be done to contain this virus other than protecting older, more vulnerable people. It should be thought of nothing more than a bad flu season. This is not Ebola. It's not SARS. It's politics playing medicine, and that's a very dangerous game. There is no action of any kind needed other than what happened last year when we felt unwell. We stayed home, we took chicken noodle soup, we didn't visit Granny, and we decided when we would return to work. We didn't need anyone to tell us. Masks are utterly useless. There is no evidence base for their effectiveness whatsoever. Paper masks and fabric masks are simply virtue signaling. They're not even worn effectively most of the time. It's utterly ridiculous seeing these unfortunate, uneducated people, I'm not saying that in a pejorative sense, seeing these people walking around like lemmings, obeying without any knowledge base to put the mask on their face. Social distancing is also useless because COVID is spread by aerosols, which travel 30 meters or so before landing. Enclosures have had such terrible unintended consequences. They should, you, everywhere should be open tomorrow, as was stated in the Great Barrington Declaration that I circulated prior to this meeting. And a word on testing. I do want to emphasize that I'm in the business of testing for COVID. I do want to emphasize that positive test results do not, underlined in neon, mean a clinical infection. It's simply driving public hysteria, and all testing should stop unless you're presenting to hospital with some respiratory problem. All that should be done is to protect the vulnerable and to give them all, in the nursing homes that are under your control, give them all 3,000 to 5,000 international units of vitamin D every day, which has been shown to radically reduce the likelihood of infection. And I would remind you all that using the province's own statistics, the risk of death under 65 in this province is 1 in 300,000. 1 in 300,000. You've got to get a grip on this. The scale of the response that you're undertaking with no evidence for it is utterly ridiculous given the consequences of acting in a way that you're proposing. All kinds of suicides, business closures, funerals, weddings, etc., etc. It's simply outrageous. It's just another bad flu. And you've got to get your minds around that. Let people make their own decisions. You should be totally out of the business of medicine. You're being led by down the garden path by the chief medical officer of health for this province. I'm absolutely outraged that this has reached this level. It should all stop tomorrow. Thank you very much.
So, there's a man who was allowed to speak at a conference because that's what he believes.
His name's James Jim Flynn. Jim.
No, it's not.
Michael Flynn.
No, it's not.
Well, who is it?
Hodgkinson, I think. A man called Hodgkinson, I believe. We'll find out who it is. You can Google that man. Is that the Rocket? We'll just check that. That was, I think it's Hodgkinson.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's coming up here.
Anyhow.
Dr. Hodgkinson.
So, yep. So Dr. Hodgkinson.
Roger Hodgkinson.
Roger Hodgkinson said this at a conference. When this was announced by Trump, used to say vaguely that sort of stuff over in America, and they jumped on him because they, as he said, they politicized the virus because they wanted to make sure everything he did was wrong, and so it was all designed at getting him out of office.
Okay, well, the problem for this guy is that the average daily death for COVID in the US is 3,000.
This man's in Canada.
Okay, I'm just, well, okay, I'm talking about...
It's still a fair point, yeah.
Okay. For the flu season in America from October to, which is their winter, October through to April, that's 219 to 220, the total deaths were between, and it's a pretty loose figure, 24,000 to 62,000. Now, let's just take 62,000 and we divide it back to a daily death rate or daily rate. Now, that equates to 340 deaths per day from the flu. Now, it is 3,000 deaths from coronavirus. And the flu season finishes, but corona doesn't seem to have a season. It is ongoing.
Good on you. That's good. Yeah, what? I agree. I'm saying that's good. I don't agree with this bloke. I reckon he's a nutbag, but anyway.
But then again, he can't be a nutbag because he's got all those qualifications. So who do you listen to?
We need a doctor. We need to get a doctor on.
He's got
why?
To tell us, to give us some sort of, I don't know, some objective response to this.
Well, that's you see, you only say it's not objective because...
the numbers don't lie.
But he gave you the numbers. He said in Canada...
Yeah, but I'm countering it with what's happening in America.
But Don, we're talking about Canada.
No, but it's still... saying, though, is still a good case study.
Well, so it is. So the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, listed a number of deaths in nursing homes because he dishonestly and against the law put old people into nursing homes who had COVID, and it spread like wildfire, and they have under undersold and undertold the press exactly how many people died in nursing homes to make him look good. He won an Emmy for his great service to New York, who he's killed 24,000 people in nursing homes because he didn't take advice from doctors. So no wonder those stats go up when you've got people using politics to play medicine with politics.
And talking about winning an Emmy, what about Andrews being nominated as political award? First off, what a wank giving an award for a political award. And two, who's nominated Andrews?
Well, your stats.
Simon Crean, I think.
Simon.
Yeah.
And the other interesting thing. Can I just go?
A Labor stalwart.
Will you be quiet a moment? About this thing at Avalon? He said Melbourne Airport and Avalon, they're looking at the possibilities of opening them as quarantine stations. Now, Now, who gave him backing last year for doing a good job? A business tycoon or a business well-known in business? Who gave him the backing that you wouldn't think
the only
he,
one
he
who
would
gave him
get
backing
was?
Lindsay Fox.
Thanks. And who owns Lavington Airport?
Avalon.
Is it Avalon? Oh, Lavington.
Avatar.
They did have an airport there. It's now a building and housing estate.
A wartime runway.
And it's called Lavington anyway, not Lavington.
I'm thinking of the place up at Albury.
You're thinking of Avatar.
Lavington, I'm thinking of. Anyway.
That three-dimensional film that Avatar you're thinking.
Avalon.
You weren't thinking.
Who owns Avalon? Lindsay Fox. Yeah. Where are they going to build it? Down there.
At Avalon.
And who's going to pay for it? We are.
Exactly, Donald. So
why don't they look at, and we brought it up on the podcast, what about that thing at Woomera? Why don't they just put them there? They're talking about making the quarantine station up at Darwin. Now, what I fear for, if it gets to Darwin, is the Aboriginal community. If it was happened to get out of the Northern Territory and go through the Aboriginal. Now, there hasn't been any cases up there, and they've been very, very lucky in the Northern Territory. But if they put a quarantine station up there, it's a detention centre at the moment, it could escape and go through that community. Why wouldn't you put it away from everybody else at Woomera, in the middle of nowhere?
So, Donald, you are spot on. And,
why hasn't the federal government taken this over? And I reckon the federal government, polarising it's a polarising issue, and they do not want to get on the wrong side of the general public.
I was just about to say why you were spot on, Donald, because when we started this, last year, in fact, we said if we base everything we speak about on the fact that the world is corrupt and then go from there, this is corruption in the extreme. There is no reason, if you listen to that man from Canada, there's no reason why most of what's going on in this state is going on, and it is virtue signalling in the extreme to placate the backing of those people who will nominate the Premier for awards, because if you can say this man is doing a good job in this state, just having read those figures out, then you're delusional. And I'm not saying you are delusional, Donald, but
I'll put another three penneth worth in as well. I'm on a roll. Shut up. I'm on a roll. Three penneth. That's like threepence. Do you remember? Wouldn't remember threepence.
What's a penneth?
No.
Penneth is a penny. And before decimal currency came in, we had pounds, shillings and pence.
I've never heard sterling. Of penneth.
It's called three penneth worth. Threepence.
Don,
threepence is three pennies. Anyway, I was talking to a teacher. Now, you think a school teacher would be aware of what's going on, and you know, because they are school teachers and they've done university degree. I believe that these school teachers, together with the other people, would be far more vocal had they have not been getting JobKeeper last year or not getting paid. Now, they were getting paid right through the coronavirus. Had they have not been paid, I think they would have been far more vocal in regard to Daniel Andrews. And it was only the federal government, not the state government, who was paying them.
Right. Who wins if this is a hoax, Sam? You say this whole thing's a hoax. Who wins?
What's a hoax?
The COVID thing.
I said giving Daniel Andrews a nominating him.
No, I'm going back to that.
I'm saying Dr. I Roger said that Hodgkinson. Was about a hoax. I said nominating the Premier is a hoax. Right. That is just political. That is political expediency. Trying to massage the community, thinking he's doing a good job on this matter, and he has been absolutely, patently unsuccessful.
One person that's been very critical in the press is Jeff Kennett. Now, he is president of Hawthorn. Isn't it interesting that North Melbourne, Essendon, there was another football team, not Geelong.
What do you think that'll help you?
Hawthorn didn't get any grants with regard to help for this no, new thing.
No, because they were liberal. They're Dingley. Yeah, their member base are
that's
all liberal.
That's exact. And also, Kennett's been very critical. And is there a conspiracy theory here? Or
North Melbourne got money, I think.
North Melbourne got money. Essendon got money.
Everybody but Hawthorn. No, no, everybody but Hawthorn got money from
Simon
memory.
Crean.
Hawthorn and Geelong.
Mr. Simon Crean is the, what is he with North Melbourne? He was the number one member.
Yeah. So basically everybody, all the clubs, there was 500 million, 230 went to the AFL to redo Marvel, and the rest was distributed to all the clubs, and Hawthorn missed out.
Don, corruption.
Anyway.
It's corrupt. Incidentally, and I'll just talk about, you talk about the educators. This is what's happening at the Australian National University. Wait till we get onto this, which we will get onto. But I just had to mention, we have some writers now. We're not getting paid for this, contrary to the opinion of some people. We don't get paid to do this.
I wish we were.
We don't get paid to do this podcast.
What are you laughing at?
Okay. But let me finish what he's saying. What?
As you say to me, whoa, I'm speaking. Don, we don't get paid for this, unlike some grubs that say we do. Don wishes we were. But we don't. But we have had writers now. We've got people sending in, I asked, could people possibly write in and give us some humour. This man...
What's the writing address? Can we let people know that? Where do they write to?
Write to Don Scott, care of the Hawthorn Football Club, legend. I just wanted to mention this before I get on to what the Australian National University is asking us to cop. You won't believe what they're asking us to do. But this is the first.
You know, I'll finish up with a migraine tomorrow, don't you?
This is the first entrant into this. We've asked professional writers. This man sends this.
He's a professional writer.
He is. This is his entree into the humour stakes, and he says, "I can't mention who sent it in." He said, "A young Eskimo man." Now, when we say Eskimo, an Eskimo is an Inuit. That's what the name for Eskimo is. Eskimo.
So what do you? Yeah,
you can't
we know
say that anymore, can you?
Eskimo?
Yeah.
That's the reason I said that. This man.
Why?
Said, because it's.
I think it's politically incorrect.
It's sort
Eskimo.
Of, well, yeah. This is where it's headed. Because Eskimos, you might they are descendants of Mongols from East.
Yeah, that's right.
East Asia.
They make Eskimos. Pies.
They do Eskimo pies.
Yeah.
They're chocolate with ice cream. They're beautiful.
It's going to take Peters. A while. It's going to take a while to get the joke out. I've only read three words.
Give it time.
They were beautiful ice cream.
Did you like
they
them, made the be- What did you like
I like
about
Peters
them?
In preference to Senates. Do you remember Senates with the big polar bear?
Of course I do. Polar bear, I think we can still say that, yeah. As opposed to a brown bear?
Yes, but it was a Senates. I didn't like their ice cream. I liked Peter's ice cream.
I see. Yep. Good.
You remember the two?
So I'll get more than three words. I've only got three words out so far. A young Eskimo, in brackets, Inuit.
Inuit.
What? An Inuit. That's what Eskimos, that's the correct term for an Eskimo. A young Eskimo man must pass the test to become an adult of the tribe. Now,
initiation test.
Oh, Christ, Don.
Don't blaspheme and use our Lord's name in vain. All right, listen, I don't mind the others, but that's called blasphemy.
I'm going to just speak to it.
They said you're not even religious.
I'm not.
Well, why do you keep giving us grief?
Because it's been
about
ingrained
this?
By my grandmother. My grandmother used
ingrained.
To rip. Yes, that I.
Your mother's in ground grand, now. She's dead.
Grandmother.
With a mortar and pestle.
What?
No. I'm going to speak to dear God. Please, could you give Don the presence of mind to have some fucking brains? Amen. Now, Don. It says a young Eskimo man must pass their test to become an adult of the tribe. Now, the word tribe. Do you know? I'll just do. Have
finish
a,
the joke.
Just have a listen to this. The yeah, have a man interrupted. The Celebrants Society of Australia. Celebrants, people who marry you yes, out of a church. Yeah. They call themselves the Celebrants of Australian Tribe. And they were asked not to call their name tribe because that is relating to Indigenous people. And you can't believe this. They were asked not to use the word tribe because that has apparently been hijacked by the Indigenous community to say it's only to be used when you're speaking about Indigenous affairs. These Eskimos, they call themselves tribes. Anyone that is a group of people, like-minded people, can call themselves a tribe. So we've been told not to use the word tribe unless it refers Indigenously. I don't understand that. But so a young Eskimo man must pass their test to become an adult of the tribe. On a selected night, I'll read this properly. A young Eskimo man must pass their test to become an adult of the tribe on a selected night. For his test, for his test of manhood, he must A. This is the three things he's got to do to become a member of the tribe.
Yeah,
skull a flagon of Eskimo liqueur. It's what? Called skull a flagon of Eskimo liqueur.
Really.
It could be polar bear piss. It could be anything, but it's called hoochah. Hoochah. This is what the man who writes this in says. So he's got a skull a flagon of Eskimo liqueur. He's got to wrestle a polar bear chained, which is chained up outside the hut.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second thing he's got. And the third thing he's got to do is make love to an Eskimo princess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to pay attention to those things. Skull a liqueur, wrestle a polar bear and make love to a princess. So on the night in question, the young man takes the test. He skulls the flagon of liqueur, then goes out into the night, a howling gale, and all those inside hear mayhem outside as he deals with the polar bear chained up outside. He hears...
keep going.
Chained up outside. Eventually, he returns to the hut, all bloodied and torn and beaten and battered, and says, I can't do the accent of a Inuit, but he says, well now, he said, where is that Eskimo princess that I've got to wrestle? Now, that's the first... Because I presume the liquor... I presume because of the liquor, he got the order in the wrong and he went out and made love. So that was our first entry from our very, very good... he's our resident humour man. I can't mention his name, can I?
No, don't do that.
He said...
Olive oil was better.
Olive oil, yeah, it wasn't a bad one.
Now, that had a lot of
can
stuff
I see if I can top
right
it?
It.
What?
That can I top that?
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Fellas.
What?
Maybe
this
fella,
is the Christmas
I'm saying
present.
Fellas.
This is the Christmas
no,
present.
Don't worry about the Christmas present.
Yeah, no, do,
present.
Because otherwise they're a bit rancid and people think that you're
I
coming
know,
up with
I know, I know.
Well,
people
so
are coming up to
Don,
me.
The board game, I wish I
they
didn't
They said
know.
This is a bit edgy, the podcast.
This is a Christmas
anyway, this
present
is a Christmas present.
That you were given.
And yes, anybody can buy. Go out and buy this Christmas present. Fellas, maybe you should rethink rocking those skinny jeans. Which side effect is caused by wearing them? Which side effect is caused by wearing them? Okay, the skinny jeans.
Yeah.
A.
Stovepipes.
A. Urinary tract infections. B. twisted nuts. C, bladder issues. D, above all. Now, you got it all clear?
I'm going to go with twisted nuts.
Right. What are you doing, Johnny?
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the question.
Okay, fellas, maybe you should rethink.
Doug says...
So tight jeans can cause this effect, can they?
The skinny jeans, which side effect is caused by wearing them?
Right, go ahead.
Okay, urinary tract infections, yes. Twisted nuts, bladder issues, and D, all of the above.
Twisted nuts. So that says?
All of the above. So by wearing skinny jeans, you can finish up with urinary tract infections, twisted nuts, and bladder issues.
I presume when you say skinny jeans, that's nothing to do with the legs and the stovepipes. That's the tightness around the crotch.
Crotch.
What?
Crotch. Crotch or crotch?
Pardon, Don? Crotch.
No, crotch.
Crotch. K. K. C.
It's crotch.
That's C-R.
O-T-C-H. Well, crutches.
You're saying crutch like when you got a broken leg.
I'm talking about like crutching sheep.
Fuck me. Christ.
Don't blaspheme.
Oh, but you're happy to give us one more, come on.
Oh, one more. Okay, I'll pick one at ransom here.
Ransom. You're going to pick one at ransom.
Don, crutch.
What's the most popular day of the week for viewing porn?
Don.
Well.
Okay, now you've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday or Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday or Monday. What's the most popular day of the week for viewing porn?
Monday, because you've missed out.
Sunday. As the Beatles wrote a song about it.
Doug said he was adamant that it was Sunday.
Yeah, and you say Monday, because you've missed out on the weekend.
The Beatles wrote a song about it, 8 days a week. That would be the preferable time to watch it.
Every day.
On your 8th day?
No,
okay, come on. What day? Johnny?
Monday.
You're dead right. Monday.
I hate the fact that I got that right.
Get you up and about, Don. Get you up and about.
No, you probably missed out on the weekend.
Right. Here's the definition of crotch, Don.
Crotch.
From the English Oxford Dictionary. A forking or a place... as of the human body between the legs, a part of a pair of trousers or panties or like formed by the joining of the two legs.
Yeah, that is what's the pronunciation? What does it say?
Pronunciation.
Crotch. Crotch. You were saying crutch.
Crutch.
Yeah.
I'll give you the definition of crutch.
But Don, you agree that's what it is, and you say it crotch.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get crutch up.
You just think amongst yourselves, everyone.
Here's crutch. Did you mean crutch? Yes, I did. A support to assist a lame person who's infirm. Any of the various devices resembling this in shape. So a crutch is something when you're limp, Donald, and you are infirm and have a withered leg, you use a crutch. A crotch is when you get kicked in the... sorry about that. Now, so listen to this, but it'll all pale into insignificance shortly because the Australian National University, have a listen to this, the Australian National University have decided, this is what they're asking, have told staff to stop using the word mother and replace it with gestational parent, while father should now be referred to as the non-birthing parent in order to deliver gender-inclusive education. Can you believe this? The term breastfeeding should now be changed to chest feeding, and it shouldn't be breast milk, it should be human or parent's milk instead of mother's milk. Now, my point about this is, if you can have educators getting a grant from the government, which comes from your tax money, and they're telling people that you shouldn't become a father or a mother or a parent and you shouldn't have breast milk and you should... Why are these people getting a grant? So if you can't use the word...
They're not getting a grant.
The Australian National University?
No. What do you say for a grant to write this stuff?
No, I'm saying...
Because it has been refuted by the head of... university.
I'm just saying to you, if they're asking people not to refer to the male, because there's only biologically two genders, no matter what you'll say, doesn't matter what you signal as, you can signal yourself as a man or a woman or a cat or a donkey, there are only two genders biologically. So if you can't become a father or a mother, you can't become a mother unless someone with a dick, no matter what they signal as, copulates with you or goes to a sperm bank and gets a test tube off a shelf that someone has ejaculated into. That is a male. The only way you can become a father or a mother is by being two different genders. Now, seriously, to have this, I don't, if the people who wrote this, if you're not allowed to use mother, I don't know what we call them, because I would call them motherfuckers. If that is the fact that if you are saying that the university is saying not to use mother,
it's only
father,
a certain part of the university.
Fucker, thanks.
A gestational parent. Oh, seriously, Don, please. A gestational parent or the what was the mother meant to be called?
I think you're, I think you're making a big thing of this.
Am I?
Yes, I think a very very small minority wrote this or made the suggestion. That's, it's not the whole university.
That is exactly my point, Donald. We are being told
but it's getting
by these,
publicity.
By these you shouldn't smallest give it any air. Minority of people on this planet are trying to change the way you talk about a father or a mother or... It is, why to be put up with it? And in fact, but if that is an edict or if that is written in all serious intent on an Australian National University byline or whatever it is, how does anyone just allow this to go on? What is the point of it? And you'll say that's homophobic, transphobic. It's nothing to do with that. It's just... people sitting there thinking about how can we ask people to change the way they think when it's just no need to. It's just nonsense. Did the irony be lost on you that the Chinese Wuhan virus stopped the Chinese New Year celebrations here? Was that lost on you, the irony of that?
No, well, I was more interested in the health department, the World Health Organization, getting access to Wuhan to explain or to discover or whatever, investigate how the virus actually happened. It hasn't received much airplay. An Australian scientist came back saying that it came from, in his opinion, bats. And what are those other things that they...
Pangolins.
That's it, pangolins.
Pangolin.
What is that? What is a pangolin, please?
A pangolin.
Yes, what is it?
Is that the thing with the
It's mix? A little scaly mammal. It's a little scaly mammal, Donald.
What happened to them?
A pangolin, it is, actually.
Hang on, don't talk over one another, please.
Oh, it's a pangolin.
Didn't they say something about the minks and the ferrets and that?
No, he came back and said about the pangolin and the bats or something.
But I thought they had a third party, so we didn't get it directly from bats. We got it via the...
Well,
he
said, no, this is the Australian representative who was there said it was from bats and pangolins.
But wasn't it actually transferred to us, though, via minks in China?
That's not, he didn't say that. No, he didn't say that.
They said it came from
so
pangolins.
I'm more in, beg your pardon?
Pangolins and bats.
That's right. That's what he said.
And they mutate, they crossbred them with a view to making.
Weren't they selling them in the wet markets?
They crossbred them with a view to making a virus which was destructive. That's what they said, a pangolin. I'll tell you, it's a mammal having a covering of broad overlapping horny scales and feeding on ants and termites. That could be you, Don. Anyhow, so that's what a pangolin is. So that is how, honestly, they plan us on a break. So Donald... Trump was acquitted from not being impeached, right? They tried to impeach him again, and his lawyer stood up, was being interviewed, and the woman interviewing him said, this is his lawyer. His lawyer's name is Michael van der Veen. And
Woman got up and said...
The woman was interviewing Michael van der Veen, saying he defended Trump and got him off the impeachment charge, and she said... Your great entry into this debate was the fact that the opposition, that is the Democrats, had doctored up, cut and pasted some vision which had no resemblance and no bearing on what Trump was saying and who he was saying it to, and they changed the date on some things to make it look as though he had said this recently as opposed to last year. And he said, yes, you're saying that's all that they did. And she said, yes, that's all that they did. Why is that so? And he said, doctoring up evidence to impeach someone, you don't think that's serious. That's how delusional and how demented the people over there who have Trump derangement syndrome are. And I don't care, and I've had this battle with Graham Corns, who's a very charming and lovely man, because people argue about this because they have no idea what they're talking about. They're not invested enough into it to take notice of what's going on. And the man running that country at the minute is just nothing more than a buffoon. He is a clown, and the world is slowly seeing it. He cannot speak unless he reads everything he says. He can't have a conversation unless someone writes it down.
But isn't it because of his speech impediment?
Nothing to do with the fact that he's fucking senile, Don. That's why.
He's got dementia. A speech impediment too, so you cut him a little bit of slack.
Cut him no slack.
Just wait. Just cut him a little bit and let it...
Don, plenty of people stutter and make sense. That man stutters and makes no sense because he's senile. Now, that's that. Now, have you got any other things before we go on? Or are we going to a... what are we doing, Rocket?
Do sport next.
Have we got some sport?
Have we?
I'll just preempt this by saying I tried to watch the tennis last night.
Well, let's do this for sport.
What?
You're basically going to exhaust this
right quickly. No, we're not. We're winding it up and we're coming back with sport.